So I'm Micha Monge-Iristavi. I'm the director of Idris Deli Foundation and a bunch of other things, but like, you know, it's important to me that I am nobody really. I'm a grieving mom. What I care about is the agencies that those brothers have talked to you about, Lisa have talked to you about, and some of you as well, is that once the fat lady sing, and you know, praise the Lord for big women too, this is not men, tongue-in-cheek, that those agencies would either fuse together to grow in numbers and strength or have a life of their own. So I'm not coming to talk about mission here. I'm nobody when it comes to that. My agency is. Okay? We provide services to the families, and by that I mean our kind of families for people of color too. It's not always your biological family, it's also your extended family, of people who have been disabled, killed, or endangered by law enforcement. Law enforcement because we know that there is an acute link between the cop at the corner who is busting the kids to the cop at the corner who is killing adults and kids and usually get promoted for it, to the correctional system who is in turn training the torturers in Guantanamo in Iraq. We are all in the same boat when it comes to that. And that's why we're very clear about law enforcement as a mentality, as protecting and serving the ruling class. Can I say that in here? I guess so. Okay. And what Idris Deli Foundation does also is provide technical support for other nonprofits, most of them involved in racial issues like environmental racist issues, or law enforcement brutality, to promoting their website, organizing their press conference, their press release, their events, those kind of things. And of course, from the on, one-to-one support. I must say that last year I took 15 grueling weeks at the San Francisco Police Academy to graduate from their program. When I say grueling, I mean it. But the idea was for my agency to infiltrate their system so that we can look, you know, whatever little door we have to promote a social change or a change in policy in law enforcement. Sometimes that's what we have to do. And maybe I'll come back on that. I want to tell you briefly what happened to E. And, you know, besides the fact his name was Idris Deli, but it's easy to mispronounce, so he was telling people, just call me E. And he was 23. He was, by society standards, bipolar. And he would experience, he would hear voices since he was a child. He would have extreme period of agitation followed by extreme depression. Of course, he didn't want to suppress it because he was also a shaman and an activist. So during the depression time, there was a lot of introspection going on when he was isolating from the world. And during the manic time, he was moving mountains. He was getting results. So he really didn't want to impact that cycle for himself. And we had the conversation many times. At the time, I was a clinician, my bad. And I was trying to talk him into getting some medication to modulate the highs and lows. The day before he was killed, he called me and said, Mom, I think I'm going to give it a shot. I think it might be a good idea. And he was going to, he had an appointment with his friend for the next day after his murder. To get on the meds. Idris was also very psychic. As I told you, he was a shaman in my culture. That's something that is very strong. I remember he was 8 years old, and he started crying in the car. And I knew that he was subject to internal stimuli, to voices. So I thought, you know, he's just tripping again. He started shaking and crying, saying, Ma, you need to call the press. We need to do something. There are hundreds of children crying and praying under the building. They are dying, excuse me. When I hear it, the emotions are coming out. Excuse me. So I thought he was tripping. I dropped him in school. At noon that time, I get the paper, bam. 247 children have died in Manila during an earthquake. They were trapped. People could hear the shouts. They didn't get out, excuse me. When he came out of school, he was furious and called me a coward and said that we had killed him. He was in Jungian therapy at the time, and his therapist worked with him to explain that he was like a radio transistor, that he was receiving waves that were going through his body, and he didn't make it happen. And he begged all his life, make it go away, that part. Just being so hip to disaster. But I can tell you that one thing, the way he stopped me and said, you're not going to work today, you're not going nowhere, you're staying here. I called in sick. But that morning when he woke up, he told his girlfriend, Summer, baby, I'm going to die today, you know. And Idris was not suicidal. And he was in his uptrend at the time, very manic. They went to the movie theater because she wanted to change his mind. And at the Matreon on 4th and Mission, which is the palace of gentrification in downtown Mission, in the middle of the neighborhood, that is plagued by insane poverty, a lot of transgender people, a lot of people suffering from substance use. So nothing of the kind is supposed to happen there. And he asked, what's good to see? And the teller told him, swordfish. So they go to Swordfish, John Travolta, just after the credit, was lighting a cigarette up on the screen. My son reached for his Shermans, light up a cigarette. The guard come and say, please, sir, put it down. My son got up, say, I don't feel like it, and addressed himself to the audience and say, if you have families or loved ones, I want all of you to leave now, because something bad could happen. Everybody scrambled. By that time, my son is alone. His girlfriend has called for a 5150, because that's what we do, you understand? I was still a clinician at the time. I was the director of Shanti programs in San Francisco. So we did 5150s like there is not another one tomorrow. And they were handled with utmost delicatesse because the cops didn't want to get body fluids on them. They were very gentle. They wore gloves. They were wonderful with our patients. So Summer has called the cops. By that time, the matron has called the cops, and my son, who is confused and frightened, has called the cops. I saw it in his cell phone 9 minutes before he died. They got there. 3 police stations were dispatched. There were 9 total. And they evacuated all the theaters at shotgun. They got in the theater where my son was, and they pumped 48 bullets into him. Then they closed the premises. Everybody was still outside of the metro, no one in the building. They took 45 minutes to wheel him out from the back. They claimed that they were trying to perform resuscitation. What I found out later on is that my son's brain flew out all over the seats. Did they try to revive John F. Kennedy when his brain flew out of the car? I don't even have to give him an answer. What they were really doing, and that's not a mere speculation, is that they were calling Willie Brown at the time and Chief Law, we messed up, what do we do now? What is the official version? That's what happened during the 45 minutes. A year later, well, Edith Stanley case made a lot of waves in this part of California, because there was a lot of associations made with the death of Amadou Diallo in 99 in New York. And there was also at the time a wave of murder by police of people with mental health issues, especially people of color. I don't know if you might remember the institutional police in Hayward a month after my son's death, therefore in July 01, killed a native African-American black man who was naked in the waiting for downstairs in the subway in Hayward, and he was crouching, and the BART police, one officer shot him blast to the chest when he was interrogated afterwards by the press. And you know, the reporter was saying something to the effect, what would you choose this poor naked man who is obviously confused? The institutional officer answered, I don't know. He just had this look on his face like he wanted me to shoot him. Ah. This is on paper, folks. This is on paper, okay? A year later, Richard Thames, March 15th, 2002, who was a mentally challenged 80-pound African-American, very childlike, very sweet, was on the bus, on the Mission Street bus, on the 29 bus, and he was threatened by children who were making fun of his appearance, his affect. And he had a little Swiss knife in his pocket, and he took it out and said, "Leave me alone." And he got off the bus on Geneva Mission. He dropped the knife and dropped on his knees, sobbing, because he was frightened. The police came, I'm sorry, the emotions are coming up again. See, that's the whole thing about PTSD for all of us, is that everything, every minute of the day brings you back. If I go to a meeting where there are a lot of officials, somehow it doesn't come back, but I'm with my peeps here today, so, you know, the emotions are coming up a lot. The police came, they shot him 6 times. They also shot an innocent bystander, Yolanda, who is now has a colostomy bag for the rest of her life and cannot raise a child. And on, and on, and on. Okay? There is a definitely war. There's a war on the disabled. It's triple whammy when it's disabled people of color. My son's case, at least I know that my baby didn't die for nothing, you know. And I'm proud of him and his spirit for that. Is at the root of the expanded 40-hour mandatory mental health training for SFPD that was ratified in March 15, 2002. And I have a funny story for that. It's just like, you know, the odds of the political win. I also belong to an association which is the World Socialist Association of French Citizens in Foreign Countries. So, and I was running out of wind. And I said, why don't I'm gonna write to those folks, and I wrote, like, you know, the 67th sections in the world of the ADFR with what happened to my kid. Do you know that 47 countries petitioned Willy Brown to sign this training? 47 embassies across the world. I'm talking about Iceland, Madagascar, Argentina, and 44 more. Petition Willy Brown saying, tourism in your country? Maybe. In San Francisco, never, until you ratify this training. Shame on you. 2 weeks later, he had been dragging his feet. He ratified the training. Of course, that was a great victory. I have the protocol if you ever want to see the protocol. And I participated into, you know, the birth of this protocol as well and its maintenance. However, as you all know, there's a very long road from legislation to implementation and then continuance of the reform. So that's something we need to stay on the ball, and it's a model, it's also a model for other states. But we need to constantly hold them to their world, okay? And the other big victory that we won, thank you, E, is last year, Iris Telly case was at the root of the police reform in San Francisco that won with a substantial margin on the November ballot in November 03, which means that we now have a more balanced police commission. Before that, the police commission was just as worthless as the one in San Mateo with the city council that is solely nominated by the mayor, which means that essentially when a family come and cry for justice in front of the city council, they all know what the official version will be. They are the three monkeys. I don't talk, I don't see, I don't hear you. Next. At least now we have a commission that is composed of three members elected by the committee to nomination by the Board of Supervisors, and who have strong rely on the Board of Supervisors in San Francisco, Tom Amiano, for example, Cristelli, and four others are appointed by the mayors. It is still unequal, but at least we have three people who are dedicated to make sure that there is a balanced view on the commission when it comes to enforcing, when it comes to disciplining. Some of them are not even our allies, willingly. Gail Orsmith, for example, who is on that commission, was a cop in Detroit, yes, brother, family, was a cop in Detroit for 9 years before she was nominated. But she lives in Mahur. She lives in Bellevue Hunters Point, we were able to corner her into, Gail, you've got to do the right thing. You're breathing the same air here. We're counting on you. So she is forced to maintain that voice of equilibrium. Okay? Peter Keane, who is teaching at Haskins also, is a very strong voice. And so is Theresa Spark, who is a transgender commissioner on the police commission, who is very conservative, but that's the same thing. You know, we were able to vote for him. That's when you were telling us to listen on the call on our way here, that as the director of a foundation and providing technical support for many others, I have learned humbly to trust my enemies way more than my political allies. Because you always know when there is a propitious time to corner an enemy into doing the right thing. But with allies, honey, you never know when the political wind is going to blow in another direction, especially after elections. So that's something that we can use to our advantage as well. Okay? I couldn't tell, there's so much more I could tell you, but you know, get in touch with us. You have our websites here on my card. And also, as a sample, I took a card of what I do customarily for all the families of people who have been killed by law enforcement. It don't cost my agency more $6 for 500 cards in the Barbista print. So I set up a Yahoo group as a vehicle of communication between them and the community, and so that we can help them organize events, press release, and what have you. And they can just give out the cards and say, be generous with it. It's cheap, you know. That's your main vehicle of information here. And I also bought for you an event that's going to happen in San Francisco that I have organized, which I think is a pivotal event in San Francisco. It's called Our Health is Our Wealth. It's organized by the UCLA Foundation and Conscious Eyes, with sponsorship from Channel 29 and KPU. And what we're doing is, again, as I told you before, is linking all the ills that are maintaining us voiceless, from environmental racism, from pollution, from police repression, from the developer scams, etc. It's like, how do we re-own our health, which doesn't always cost a penny? How does the village take care of the village? Let's all bring our resources together. There's no stopping us now. We're going to feature three films. We're going to show Redemption, about the voice of the life of Tukey Williams, who is now on the same point for the past 23 years. We're also going to show Every Mother's Son, the movie produced by Tammy Gore that you guys are probably very familiar with. And I have copies also if you want to make your good leg. Hey, you know, call us. We'll be happy to share. And that's about the three mothers of Joshua Bush, I believe Ricardo Baez, and Amadou Diallo in New York, their action, their struggle, and their results. And we're also going to show Peacemaker for Life, which is an awful, awesome, why should I say awful? Which is an awesome group that I support heartily. That is standing at corners where there is a lot of criminalization and crime. And what they do is they play drums. And they invite people to eat some food. They got shot at many times because they come on realtor. They come and tell the kids, you are supporting those cops' salaries by selling at this point. Here is what you can do. I'm not telling you to go and work for McDonald's. You got kids, you know, you're raising kids yourself. I'm telling you about this program that won't cost you a dime. This program that will feed you. This clinic that will treat you. And us. You know, take a stab at life. You don't have to pay their $40 entry salary. We can all get out of this together. And that's the Peacemaker for Life. That's the end of the movie that we're going to show. We're going to have health practitioners, but we're going to have also faith healers and community healers. And we're going to be interactive. You know, it's very difficult for me to follow this model we do today, but we're going to do this, and then we might get your turn again, but you know, it's like, okay, here you go, sister, here's the mic, what's your story? It's going to be like that all day. Of course, we're going to eat for free, and of course, we're going to dance from 5 to midnight afterwards. So here are the flyers, and I got my sign, it's time to shut up, Mishina, I know we won't 5150 you, but please, take advantage. It's free. My services, our services, are completely confidential. And last announcement, because I just have to. I couldn't sleep two nights ago because I was busy. Well, Idris Telly Foundation was busy. George Bush, I don't know if he knows how to read, or he just doesn't know how to read, or he just forgets to read. But he signed a commendation for Tookie Williams, for good deeds on that row. Which means that Schwarzenegger is going to be forced to sign that grace. Which means that the death penalty is going to be eradicated in California, which means it's going to have a huge, formidable ripple effect on all states across the U.S. So I think it was worth not sleeping for. And so follow that, email us. We're busy. We're busy, and all of us got to get busy. And thank you.